Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm sitting here with psychologist and best-selling author and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. This is Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to hear the second part of Dr. Meg Meeker's interview with Kim and Gary Kariba. They are discussing Kim's book, Not Too Far From Here, Moving From Hurt to Hope. Dad, yesterday's broadcast was really good, and it was so relatable. Everybody goes through a time where you feel burned.
We were talking about that last time, Ryan, and there are two-part programs that we do where I'm really anxious for people to go download part one.
That's right.
Because they're directly related, and I think people are going to be blessed by what was said last time.
Mm-hmm.
And it will certainly make today's program more meaningful if you will do that.
It really will. The Karibas suffered heartbreaking betrayal and loss in an instant with absolutely no warning. But that wasn't the end of their story. God knew the plans he had for them, and today we get to hear about that. It is fascinating, so let's jump right into the conclusion of Dr. Meg Meeker's interview with Kim and Gary Kariba.
Let me add one last thought as people listen to this second part of the interview. We'll all be hurt sooner or later, as you said. Everybody will. Everybody will. Jesus was. All the disciples were wounded. Most of them were executed. There will come a time when you simply have to let it go.
That's right.
That's the hardest thing in the world to do. You want to grieve. You want to hurt. You want to strike back. You want to wound the other person.
You want to tell everybody what happened and the injustice that was done to you.
You want to justify yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The natural inclination is to do everything you can to wound the person back.
Yeah.
And you absolutely can't do that. And you're the one that gets hurt if you do.
It's true. We're going to hear about that today. Here are the Karibas with Dr. Meg Meeker on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Meg Meeker, and this is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And I'm in the studio today talking with two wonderful, wonderful guests. My guests are Kim and Gary Kariba. We are here talking about Kim's new book that recently came out called Not Too Far From Here. And Kim and Gary, yesterday we were talking about your story and how you moved from Nashville, from a very successful Christian music career, to Branson, Missouri, because you wanted to be home full-time with your kids. Gary, you wanted to get out of the...
We just wanted a different atmosphere.
You wanted a different atmosphere.
Boys, yeah.
And shortly after you got there, you had a job. You're both singing again. And one day, the sky fell in. You walked into
Bottom dropped out.
You walked into work and were told, you're no longer wanted here.
Right.
And your lives fell apart.
Two jobs, one day.
Two jobs in one day. And you have two children at home. You just built a new home. You talked to us, Kim, about the discipline of getting on your knees and seeking the kingdom of God. And now you're at the point where some healing has begun and you're back at Christian counseling.
Yeah.
When you went back to finish your master's degree in Christian counseling, tell me about the class that you were told you had to take first. I love it.
Yes. Well, I said yesterday that when I called to start my study again, my professor said that there was one class that she wanted all of her counseling students to take, and it was called Interpersonal Forgiveness. And I thought, this has got to be a joke, God. You know, this is exactly where I am. And I needed it. And we had two jobs lost in one day, and so we're shocked and reeling. And now I'm going to take this class on forgiveness. And I started the class and I just went kicking and screaming. But as soon as the class started and I started reading the textbooks that were assigned, I just said, this is the Lord, because I need this. I was holding a grudge big time against this man who had done this to my husband. You know, for Gary as a man, this is his part of his identity. He was the leader of this group that was on stage 2 hours a day. You know, like I said, I came out and sang my two or three songs. That was it. I bebopped in and out, but he was there leading this group of men that went out and did their best every single day. And these people we went to church with. we went to dinner with.
This must have felt like a personal affront. Yeah.
You know, I've been hurt by people. That's just life, you know, human nature. We hurt each other at times, but I can honestly say I have never been betrayed like that in my life.
What was that like for you? I mean, you felt betrayed. What does it feel like as a man? You know, we're two women sitting here, and I know we're going to have some men out there listening mm-hmm. who are the, you know, the primary breadwinners in the home, where, you know, you've lost your job mm-hmm. and then you've lost your source of income and then you've lost your friends mm-hmm. and your trust in them has been betrayed. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you felt pretty despondent.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And you felt like a failure.
Yeah. And like I say, I walked around in shock for quite a while. And, you know, I don't know how to describe that except that if you've ever seen a movie where somebody's in an airplane and the window gets broken out and everything goes whoosh.
Yeah. That was this
vacuum. That's what I felt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it because mm-hmm. I really can't put into words all that devastation in one day.
Can I ask, did they replace you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Immediately.
The next day.
So they really weren't changing direction.
No.
That was sweet parlance for you need to leave.
Yeah. We had to go in the next day and clean out our dressing rooms. Mm. Gary had been there for 13 years, and his dressing room mirror had about a 1 foot square space left out of 8 feet that he could see his face in because the rest was covered in family pictures and memorabilia. And I tell this story, I'm going to cry telling it, but, you know, they said, get your stuff out. So we went in, took me 5 minutes because I didn't have that much personal stuff there. But we go up to clean out his room, and when I got up there, there were three managers standing back there in tears, watching Gary clean out his dressing room. And he's there, and he's lined up all the suits. He's lined up all the cowboy boots. He's cleaning the sink. And I grabbed stuff. I'm cleaning the mirror. And then he went and got a vacuum cleaner and took the hose and vacuumed out the corners. And I am boo-hooing because I'm thinking, who does this?
Who does that?
Who gets fired like this and lines up those suits knowing that tomorrow there's a photo shoot that somebody else is wearing those suits at?
Mm. Right.
So now you know why it took me a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because I watched this happen to him, but I still had to forgive. And it took a while to get there. And I honestly, I'll still be just going along and something will trigger a thought and I'll feel that tenseness in my chest where I go, you know, and I have to go, nope, I've forgiven this man. I pray for him. Mm-hmm. I have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read all the stuff in that class about, you know, the resentment that's like taking poison and the reasons that we're told to forgive. Jesus commanded us to forgive because he forgave us. So we have to forgive. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't tell us we had to forget.
Right.
Because we can't.
Right.
That is the process. So when the memory comes up and you feel that same pain, that's when you have to say, no, I have forgiven.
I believe that part of our life as Christians and humans is at some point to understand what it's like to have your heart shelled out and hollowed out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left.
Yeah.
And you wait and you wait and you wait for Christ, who is the living water, to just pour back into you. Gary, you were talking when we were off air about the need to plow through this. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because you've gone through this healing as well. And this is Kim's book.
Right.
But let's talk about how you started to march forward.
Well, part of it was my wife pushing me. Because, like I said, my natural inclination as a man was not to sit down and read and study and seek God's will. It wasn't hers either, but she's like that. She's going to force herself and read and study.
To act even though you don't want to.
Exactly.
Even though you don't feel like it. You just do it.
There were times when I read stuff that literally went in one ear and out the other. That, you know, I might as well have been reading the dictionary. But you keep that process up. It's like we were talking. There's persistence. There's persistence that pays off. It's a mountain that you have to climb. And I say mountain because this is not any time anybody out there that we're talking to and that's within earshot of what we're saying goes through this. This is not stuff that's easily overcome. You know, you're talking about situations where you have to plow through. And I was raised by a bunch of people that are hardworking, plow through, fighter kind of people, you know, and that's what you do. And so, you know, if all I could think of to do was to get up and mow my lawn, at least I accomplished something that day. Even though you don't feel like it, you know, because you know you're a Christian and you love the Lord. And even though you might feel, in your head you might feel, God, you've let me down. But in your heart, you know better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference in that head and in the heart knowledge. In your heart, you know better than to think that God let you down. So in my heart, I knew the only hope that I had of overcoming any of this was God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Was seeking him first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the physical aspect of, as far as a man is concerned, of just plowing through and trudging through and getting up every day and keep punching.
How did you work on forgiveness? Were you both sort of emotionally going about the same rate?
He forgave much quicker
I don't hold grudges. And I don't hold unforgiveness.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same reason why I went in and cleaned my dressing room up and straightened up my suits, because I had pride in what I had done. And I was raised to conduct yourself with pride and character and dignity. And there was no way I was going to go in and, you know, spray paint the walls and break the mirror and cut up the suits or any kind of nonsense like that. I was raised better than that.
Mm. Kim, what were some of the key elements that you worked through in your forgiveness?
Well, you know, just in studying how to forgive helped me a lot, because I had to
talk to some of the women and men out there who are needing to forgive. What do they need to do?
Well, the thing that I had to keep in mind was, I know me, and I know I need to be forgiven.
Mm.
And
ah.
Because of that, Jesus said, I can't forgive your sins if you don't forgive other people. He wanted to forgive us badly enough to die. And so I have to at least be able to extend a smidgen, as we say in the South,
first,
of that.
So first, you really had to shift your perspective.
Yes.
And you had to take your eyes off of the person who offended you and look at your offenses to Christ.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a powerful place
yes.
to start.
Because that is the starting point for
mm-hmm.
all of us.
It is.
If you have any type of walk with the Lord, and to know that, you know, he said, if you don't forgive others, your sins won't be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? I don't remember that from vacation Bible school. You just
exactly.
asked Jesus into your heart.
Yeah, I forgive because I know overwhelmingly how imperfect mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah. So then you saw that. Then what did you do?
Well, after I began to understand that I would have to forgive, if for no other reason, for my own forgiveness, but also for my own sanity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen enough people in my life who have held on to grudges
mm-hmm.
and have seen what that does. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people have told me their story of hanging on to something, and then they got to see the revenge happen
mm-hmm.
and say, it just didn't feel as good as I thought it was mm-hmm. going to feel.
No. Did you literally sort of picture this man in your mind and say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you? Or did it happen in a moment?
I wrote a prayer down in my notebook. I wrote a prayer that said, I forgive so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I pray that he's blessed and that, you know, his family is restored. I mean, I just
did
went
you
down
mean
the
it?
Whole... I don't know if I meant it right that minute,
but
I do now.
Yes, but the reason
it was
I asked,
step.
Yeah, but here's the reason I ask that, because I think we feel we have to wait till we feel it to do
no.
it.
No, if you
right.
wait till
you're
you
exactly
think
right.
you're going to feel it, you're not going to do it.
It's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
Was that the truth for you, Gary, as well? Well, no,
sure.
You forgave a lot.
I'm not a grudge holder. There's a part of you that goes, you know, I can't believe that happened, that he did that. That, you know, but. That person probably never gave me.
Here's a good example of the difference between the two of us. You know, I'm still plotting revenge, and Gary said, somebody asked him, you know,
he had been through something.
Something had happened, and Gary said, you know, if he called me at 2:00 in the morning and needed me to come pick him up, I'd go. I'm like, what? I mean, I think I literally said, what?
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's unfathomable to me.
That's where we're to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where we're to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is we take on one another's burdens, even if they have hurt us terribly. Mm. And that's what Christ does. But
oh,
that's
gosh,
hard,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah,
we exchange ourselves
yeah.
for him. So after you went through the forgiveness, how did you come to complete wholeness or restoration?
Well, I don't know that I'm totally completely over every mm-hmm. single part of it yet. Writing the book helped me mm-hmm. because it put it into perspective for me. And for me, maybe it's the woman nurturing side, but when I'm writing this book, I'm thinking, if this can help somebody mm-hmm. else, then I'm going to have to say it's been worth it.
Bingo.
Because I need to know that this is going to have a purpose.
It's also been a lesson in watching God work.
Oh. Yes.
And watching him be faithful just like he said he was faithful. Mm-hmm. And watching him bless you just like he said he'll bless you.
Let me just throw this in. We have named our home Jehovah Jireh.
We're still
the Lord provides. We're there.
So you still have your new home.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
Tell me about, we only have a few minutes mm-hmm. left here, what are the blessings that God did in those years?
Our pastor at church had us come up one Sunday morning and just give a little testimony about how God has provided. And I stood up and I said, the human in me wants to say, I don't know how we've survived. Really, I don't know how we've survived. That's the human in me, my mind. But in my heart, I knew I'd be doing God a huge disservice if I said those words, because I know exactly how we've survived. It's been the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
It has been his provision and him opening doors.
Well, I mean, we don't want it to sound like we've just sat there and waited for checks to come in the mail.
You were very active.
We've been part-time youth pastors at our church. Mm-hmm. I was the church secretary for a mm-hmm. year.
Yeah. No, I started a lawn company. I had two commercial mowers. I had purchased them before we got fired because my sons, I said, you guys aren't going to sit around and play video games and watch television all summer long, okay, while school's mm-hmm. out. We're going to mow lawns. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? When we didn't have money coming in, we got those mowers out and we mowed lawns.
Yeah.
We still do.
Yeah. So God help you get a mowing company going.
Mm-hmm. And that gospel show that we're doing.
Yeah.
That's
a miracle.
And I wanted to mention this.
I think.
You have something called Sunday Gospel Nights.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a live performance. Mm-hmm. You do all gospel. It's mm-hmm. not just you two. You have Alan Asbury and Deborah Paxton.
We have a full band. We have our sons involved in the show.
And they do comedy.
One of them, the 18-year-old.
I love it.
He and his buddy do comedy. Yeah.
It's at Grace Community Assembly mm-hmm. in Branson.
Yeah.
And if anybody would like to know about it, just go to the website, SundayGospelNight.com.
Yeah. And that, you asked how the healing has taken place. That's been part of it.
Oh.
Because the response to that has been unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It really has.
And it's defied all logic as far as Branson is concerned because it's a free show.
But that's God.
It is God.
God defies all logic.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Well, and you know, gospel music, we're starting with songs that we grew up on mm-hmm. through, you know, a song or two of mine. But, you know, we're singing classic gospel songs over the years that minister.
People come up afterwards and say, I cried for 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
I remember those songs. I haven't heard them and I remember those. It's like we were talking, there's a generation of people who now they've raised their children and they can breathe that sigh of relief and they're able to sit down and listen to a gospel show. And, mm-hmm. and I say it, the catchphrase to it is to restore, renew, remind, and remember.
Mm. How beautiful is that? Well, Gary and Kim Kariba, I can't believe we've just gone through our time. I feel like we've been talking for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Will you give each of you a final thought to the man or woman out there who's listening, who is where you were when you were stunned with the news? You don't have a job anymore. Mm-hmm. Or maybe mm-hmm. that person just lost a child.
Right.
Or they're in despair. Mm. What do they need right now?
I have no advice except turn to the Lord. That's it. You know, and it sounds so cliche that I almost hate to even say it, but that's what we did
persevere.
To begin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have to persevere.
And the comfort of the scripture to know when you read God's word, those are his words.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the situation is. We're all going to go through hard times. But God is faithful. We found that out. God will help us through. We've found that out. And there is always hope
mm-hmm.
because we are promised, if nothing else, the hope of glory, mm-hmm. which is hard to even fathom.
Here's one thing that I want to say. We have a scripture on several walls at our house, just pinned up. And it's basically, it's Moses saying, stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. I love that.
Exodus 14, 13 and 14.
And that has been our mantra. And anybody out there listening and you're going through something difficult, stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And Moses went on, he said, the Egyptians you see before you today, you will no longer see again.
Mm. Wow.
God can do it.
God can do it. Only God can do it. How can people find your book?
It's at all the Christian bookstores, online, at the usual outlets. And if nothing else, go to my website, which is kimboycemusic.com, and it'll give you a link.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being here. You guys are just wonderful.
God bless you.
You too.
Oh, Dad, what an inspiration. They have such a great story. We've been listening to the second part of Dr. Meg Meeker's interview with Kim and Gary Kariba, and they are a great example of something we heard in our staff devotions last week, and that is God can take a mess and make it into a message. He can turn a test into a testimony, and the Karibas have faithfully turned to God and trusted Him in really one of the hardest periods in their lives, and as He always will, He brought them through it.
You know, Ryan, not only did the Karibas do a wonderful job there in telling their story, mm-hmm. which is so relevant to all of us, but Dr. Meeker did a great job, too. And I'm just wondering, who needs you and me?
Seriously.
We were out of town.
She is a superstar. She is just the greatest.
Well, we're honored to have her as part of our team. Mm-hmm. We all do go through times of loss, but the truest measure of our character is what we do with that experience. Now, listen, everybody, you can't help what you feel because feelings just are. They're not chosen. They exist, and you have to deal with them. The only issue is what you do with what you feel. You know, the only thing you can control is your response to it, your response to those deep wounds that lie inside. And the truest measure of our faith is where we turn when times are tough. Do we turn to the Lord or away from Him? Do we blame Him or do we yield to Him? I don't doubt that there's some in our listening audience who are thinking, yeah, but you don't know just how difficult it was. You don't know how mean-spirited. You don't know how degrading it was. You don't know how my children were hurt. And you don't know what financial difficulties we've gone through because somebody cheated us and did what was even illegal. And yet, that's where I am today. So I'm speaking directly to those people in this moment. I've lived long enough to know that there is no wound that can't be helped by turning to the Lord. He can heal us, and no problem is too big for Him to handle. Lean into Him, trust Him, and the Lord will rescue you.
Mm. Oh, Dad, that really is true. And if our listeners have been inspired by the story today, please share the broadcast link of these two programs with others you know that are in hard times, and you know they'll be blessed by this testimony of moving from hurt to hope. We really do appreciate you being with us today. If you've been blessed by this ministry or today's program, we would appreciate your support. If you'd like to give to Family Talk, you can do so at our website, drjamesdobson.org, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thank you for listening today, and we will see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family. Some programs live on in your heart long after the broadcast ends. Now you can listen to them whenever you want. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the year and presented them together on 6 audio CDs in the 2015 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. Join Dr. Dobson, Dr. Meg Meeker, Ryan Dobson, and incredible guests on memorable broadcasts such as Dr. Ben Carson, Francis Chan, and Alex Kendrick in this compelling audio collection. Request your CD set as our thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more to support the ministry of Family Talk. Your gift today will be doubled by a generous matching grant. Join Dr. Dobson in serving families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org. Thank you.